You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
The body of this beautiful girl, Vanessa Guillen, just 20 years old, found. We had hoped that we had prayed, but the search has ended. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. The search has ended. And now, more questions than answers as we learn her murder could totally have been prevented. And at this hour, we learn the horrific details of what this girl lived through before she was murdered and buried in a vault of cement. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. Take a listen to this.
People have been searching endlessly in this area for Private First Class Vanessa Guillen. Now, new today, officials as well as the Guillen family are waiting on an autopsy report to confirm identification of those remains. The head of Equisearch, the team responsible for locating the remains here, say that they found them yesterday in a shallow grave covered in cement, very close to where they've been searching all along. They were in Washington, D.C. when they got the news that left them heartbroken. Almost all remains have been found at the same location, and the investigation continues here.
You are hearing our friends there at Fox 44 News. That was Kendall Green reporting on the discovery of her body. But with me, the man who searched and helped find Vanessa, Tim Miller, our friend, crime victim. Also with me, Dr. Bethany Marshall, renowned psychoanalyst, joining me out of Beverly University, author of Blood Beneath My Feet on Amazon, Joseph Scott Morgan, death investigator. Special guest, Natalie Kawan, the attorney for Vanessa's family. But right now to Olivia Laveda, KXXV-TV reporter who's been on the case from the very beginning. Olivia, it just seems to get worse, because now we are learning about all the sex harassment this young girl went through, but didn't reap more do we know about the way her body was found, Olivia?
You know, we've been covering this story since Vanessa went missing, and to learn yesterday that the body was found in a shallow grave with cement and rocks and dirt poured over it.
To anyone, a cousin, an aunt, of course a mom, to think that this freshly mixed cement was poured over her body, as Tim Miller described for us. To Natalie Kawan, joining us right now, who has been with Vanessa's family throughout this horrible ordeal. And Natalie, I just driving his vehicle from one search spot to the next and gets a phone call from the family, and they're saying, well, what, we don't know anything. What happened? And what more do we know right now, Natalie? Horrible details emerging about Vanessa's brutal death.
For anyone that's has a light stomach, do not listen to this if you want me to go into the details, Nancy.
Well, I got to tell you something, Natalie. I've been to a lot of murder scenes and attended a lot of autopsies, but it hits me hard every time I hear the details, because I look at Vanessa and sister Myra tells us loving, and to hear how she was murdered. But you know what? As I tell juries, Natalie, we cannot turn away from the truth. We cannot. What happened?
So yesterday, after our press conference, we received a phone call from the CID telling us that the top agent, they're all in D.C. They want to meet with us at 4 p.m. CID guy in D.C., it was two others. It was about four or five men that wanted to meet with us and speak to us. They said, we heard what you said. We know you're doing these press conferences, and we just okay, it's about time. And they had the two other agents that were involved in this investigation also available by Skype on that laptop. We go and we met at the JW Marriott. I got an executive office space. April 22nd, Vanessa did go to work. Aaron Robinson met her in the armory room, and Aaron said was sexually harassing her. She goes into the armory room to do her work. Pictures of Sicily, his girlfriend. Just information, background information. Sicily is married to a former soldier. So Vanessa said, well, you can't marry a person. You know, it's not only wrong, but it's also against the military rules. It's not right. I have to report it. He said, no, you're not. You're not going to ruin my career. He said he grabbed the first thing he could find, and that was a hammer, and started bludgeoning her head over and over. She wasn't getting knocked down quick enough, so he kept on bludgeoning her head, skull, in the armory room. The whole place was filled with blood. He took her body and put it in, Pelican Brief. He wheeled it out. He put it on the side of the armory room. He went home. 6 p.m. comes around. He enters the base. He takes her body. He takes it to the lake or the river, puts it there, and decides he can't do this by himself. He can't, you know, bury her. He needs help. He calls his girlfriend, the Sicily girl, the one who is, and he calls her. He says, get in the car. She gets in the car, and he tells her, I have Vanessa's body in a Pelican Brief at the lake. I need your help to bury her. They go to the river. They go to the river. They first try to light her body on fire. They try to burn her body. They can't burn her body. They're having a hard time burning her body. Then they decide to take the machete out and start macheting, dismembering her whole body. They try to destroy it, try to put it in different places, bury it. They use some kind of quick dry, some kind of cement a product, and they do a shallow grave, put the cement on it, and they get rid of basically the evidence. They threw the machete out the window. By the way, with her phone, they destroyed her phone and threw it out the window. They threw the hammer out the window when they're driving. This is what they're saying. They go about their business. Ironically, this all happened between 1 and 4, you know, about midnight to 4 in the morning, when they were burning her body and dismembering her body with a machete. That time was when Vanessa's sister Myra was arriving at the base. While she's looking for her sister, they are dismembering her body. Just really disgusting. And I cried just listening to this whole story. They tell us that he did this crime between 10:23, 10:30, and 11:13 in the room, which makes no sense. How's going to be blood all over? And he kills and cleans up the whole crime scene in 43 minutes. I ask questions as to how can no one have seen this in the video cameras? How can no one have heard her screaming in the armory room when he was bludgeoning her? Then let's go fast forward. All this evidence, the statements, the witnesses, you know, someone did see him struggling to take that Pelican Brief to his car. These people came forward and spoke about it. Some people talked about, you know, seeing him, all that stuff. But they still did not, get a warrant for his arrest or anything. They continued, I want to say, to use confirmatory bias. It couldn't be him. He had a polygrapher. They said the best polygrapher out there. He refused to get a polygraph, but the polygrapher then interviewed him and said he's absolutely lying. Going to his own suicide when he was being kept on the base. They were able to bring charges of, keep him on the base with the COVID stuff. They were able to tell him that he should stay on the base because he can't go in and out with COVID, and that he was going to be hit with an affair, kind of like, you know, the tax evasion for Capone. They don't want to come after him for the murder. They want to do the affair thing. When they held him back, they said, you can't leave. You can't leave the base. How did this happen? By the way, all these holes in this case. He said he's going to the other room. They said, you're not allowed to leave this room. And somehow he walked out, went and escaped the base. They went, he ran on foot. I understand 2 hours later, they were able to find him, and how he got a gun again between that time, how he even had a gun, or, you know, they say it was his own personal gun, but that's when they came up to him and he shot himself before they could arrest him. So I got more information. If you want to ask me questions, I mean, I'm sure everybody's in shock right now because I'm still in shock.
It's so much information. I can hardly take it in. No, don't be, because this is the truth. And he could have been brought to justice had the Army acted. And I find it very, very difficult to believe that this guy, who I understand is one of the same guys that sex harassed her, was never brought to justice. Now, with a married woman, married to a former officer, a former military person, and they have a polygrapher saying he's lying. They have witnesses stating they saw him struggling with the Pelican case to put it in a car. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not the one that called her into work that day.
They say that wasn't, and this is where I believe that there's some cover-up here, because they say it wasn't him, and they said that the persons that saw, the three NCOs that saw her around 1 o'clock p.m., then changed their story to 11:30 a.m. That's why they were having confusion as to her whereabouts in the parking lot. It seemed like there were so many people covering up. The roommate, by the way, I understand his roommate may be hit with some charges for lying because he said he was there that night. But this is what's the most terrible thing. That girl, Cicely, she dismembered a U.S. soldier's body. This is what ISIS does to our U.S. soldiers. They dismember our bodies. She did this. She should be hit with terrorists.
I cannot believe this woman. She hacked apart a PFC, a female. She stood over a bonfire cackling like a witch. And in that bonfire is the remains of Vanessa Guillen. Tim Miller joining me from Texas EquiSearch, who led the search to find Vanessa at the very beginning when she went missing. Tim, what we are now learning from the Army CID, now they want to have a meeting with the family's lawyer. Not during all the family suffering, now they suddenly call a high-level meeting. Okay, you know what? I'm not impressed. And my dad was in the military. I am not impressed one bit. But what we're hearing from Army CID through the family lawyer, Natalie Kawan, fits with every single thing you told us, Tim Miller. Describe.
Well, you know what, Nancy? I normally don't put out information that I know on an investigation like this, but I felt that there was a cover-up. I know I'm the most hated person with the military right now because I said all this stuff. But the reason I said all this stuff was hopefully somebody would start talking and get out there. And I knew, Nancy, the minute that we found that burn pile and that Pelican case, that it had something to do with it. And I can tell you this for a fact, the CID investigator that was out there with us when we found that didn't think it had any relevance to the case. We had to push and push and push him. And he said, well, the case didn't look like that. And one of our people actually Googled the Pelican case and showed him the picture before he was willing to even go to the site to look at it.
I just don't understand why it's like pulling a tooth to Olivia Levada, KXXVTV. It's like holding the Army down, sitting on their chest and pulling their teeth with pliers to get them to do anything. Why, Olivia?
You know what, Nancy? I wish I could answer that question, but I can tell you this. I can count on hands, fingers, toes, et cetera, the amount of times that we have reached out, asking questions, receiving press releases. And it's not till today that the Army has even scheduled a formal press conference. It's frustrating.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I have a hard time believing. Back to you. You know what? Let me go to Dr. Bethany Marshall on this, psychoanalyst joining us out of Beverly Hills. I find it really hard to believe that this why was Vanessa called in that day?
I have a theory.
And I find it hard to believe that nobody else knew she was there except her killer.
I have a theory. I think Aaron Robinson was a bad actor for a long, long time. I think the military knew that he was sexually harassing women. I do not think that Vanessa was the only victim. I think there are people very high up. There's a powerful group psychology where they started protecting their own months ago. So in order to tell the family, be transparent, bring Aaron to justice, they would have to point a finger back at themselves and acknowledge that there was mounting evidence that he was harassing women on the base. The fact that he was having an affair with Cicely Aguilera, a woman who hacked up Vanessa's body, that doesn't just happen in an hour, a day, or 3 weeks, or 3 months. These kinds of malevolent activities, they build up over months and years. So I think that the military is, the reason you said it was like, you know, getting the truth is like sitting on their chest and kind of beating it out of them, is because in them telling the family and being transparent, they have to acknowledge that they are complicit in Vanessa's death. They looked the other way. We have to think about group psychology. When the higher ups know that one of their own is sexually harassing, is having affairs, is mistreating women on the base, and they do nothing, and all of a sudden he bludgeons her with a hammer. You know, Natalie Kwan is right. You cannot clean up a crime scene in 43 minutes. Those men, those higher ups, walked into the armory. They saw blood all over the place, and it was like, ruh-roh, what are we going to do now? They've been getting their facts in order for a long, long time. Nancy, we are just pulling on a small piece of thread today. You are going to keep pulling and pulling and pulling on this show. And Natalie, you're going to keep pulling. And so much more is going to come out.
Joe Scott Morgan, professor of forensics, Jacksonville State University, and author. Take a listen to what I'm asking Natalie, okay? Because I want you to analyze it. Natalie Kwan, this is why I keep asking this. Why was she called in? Because in my mind, Natalie, and of course you're a practicing lawyer, Natalie Kwan, the lawyer for the Vanessa Guillen family, there are no coincidences in criminal law, typically. So I find it really odd and quite the coincidence that she gets called in by a superior. And then somehow she ends up alone in the armory with her killer, Aaron Robinson. He bludgeons her dead. The place is covered. It's a bloodbath. She's covered. Everything's covered in blood. And he somehow manages to secrete her body into a Pelican case, you know, one of those big black plastic, rough and tough plastic containers, and leaves it there for all these hours. And nobody sees anything. This is a small munitions repair armory. Okay, it's a workroom. It's big. She's in there. Nobody sees a thing. Nobody sees all the blood. Hours pass. He goes home. He gets cleaned up. He goes and buys all this quick dry cement and tarps or everything he needed. He comes back. What? Nobody saw anything? Who in the hay called her in and why? Natalie.
Yes.
Who called her in?
They say that it was, I got to look at my notes again, but it was someone else. They said that, my argument is this was premeditated. There's no way, because I said, how did he get towels? Are they inside? I know I've been in the armory room. There's no towels in there. There's no cleaning solutions in there. How did he? Oh, he went down across the building. They made it up, obviously. But they said, you're right. There is no towels. And I said, so he must have had to go out and got them, or brought them in with him, which is premeditated, but there's no way he could have done that in 43 minutes. Nancy, when I tell you, you're an attorney. There's so many holes. How did you not? He'd never, ever subpoenaed her text messages. I thought you said you subpoenaed. There's the incompetency, the confirmatory bias, the way that they did this investigation, they should all be terminated. They are all part of this problem.
Well, I think it's more than that, Natalie Kawam, because the reason I keep asking who called her in, because did they call her in because Erin Robinson wanted them to or suggested
to?
Did she really have anything she had to do that day? And then suddenly when she goes missing, Robinson's superior didn't say, hey, why did you want her called in? I mean, where was the oversight? Where was the supervision? To Joe Scott Morgan, what I'm getting at is this is bigger than just Erin Robinson and his married girlfriend, Cicely Aguilera. It's bigger than that. And I swear to holy God in heaven, I'm not letting this loose.
No.
I am not letting it, not that the Army's worried about me, but I can tell you this much. I am not letting this loose.
Thank you.
How could all this happen? You were in the military, Joseph Scott Morgan. What, nobody goes in the Army and the blood's lying there? Nobody sees anything. Nobody smells anything. Nobody
right.
hears anything. The cameras don't work. How did all that happen, Joe Scott?
Well, it's lack of accountability, Nancy. If this guy is what's referred to as like, her NCOIC, which is her non-commissioned officer in charge, which I suspect is the case. They worked in kind of a sequestered area anyway, because there's very few people that have direct access to arms rooms most of the time. Now, I understand that this is a repair area, but you've also got weapons in there that they all have access to. So that would have facilitated him having time with her. I think what's key is what you were saying. Who drew her in? Was it him? Was he actually her immediate supervisor? You know, because this is an ongoing thing with weapons. You know, they're taking them out in the field. They're getting dirty. They're getting broken. You have to bring them back in to this location in order to facilitate the repair of them. And I've heard people say she came in to do her work, and she would. You have to. You know, it's kind of like that, you know, the old scene from the Lucy show where they're trying to put the chocolates, you know, in their dress and they're eating them. With these kinds of units in the Army, it's always stacking up. You have to have a schedule that you have to stay to. So did they do that as a premise to get her there to come in? Remember, she didn't show up. She showed up in like workout clothes, and I understand. I've heard some people say that that was acceptable. It never was when I was in. You had to show up in the uniform of the day. And so I found that a little suspicious as well. You know, she's like in jogging pants. She's got a T-shirt on, joggers on. So that's kind of odd to me. What's key, though, here is the copious, and I mean volumes of blood that would have issued forth from this. As Natalie mentioned a moment ago, a hammer was used in order to facilitate her death. In other words, she was beaten to death with this thing. And it creates such a volume of blood, not just from blood dripping from her head, but we begin to think about things like cast off patterns where, Nancy, if people at home will just think about taking a paintbrush and dipping it into a paint bucket and slinging it over their shoulder, if that happens, you're going to get blood all over, you know, all over the ceiling. You'll get it on the walls, the adjacent walls. It'll be dripping off on the floor. The individual that has done this, I've worked many hammer attacks, Nancy, and I can tell you that the person that engages in this is also going to be covered with blood. So how does he go about disguising that as well? I'm real curious about the timeline here. No, in answer to Natalie's question, there is no way under heaven that this guy could have cleaned up that room in 43 minutes so that no one would have noticed. You'd have to have a number of cleaning supplies. And even after, say, you do the initial cleaning, you've still got to deal with the body. That means the body has to be wrapped up because she's got this gaping injury to her skull. So the head will have to be wrapped. You'll have to get the body into a bag or something.
Right.
That is a major problem. So there are a lot of holes in this, Nancy.
I got another issue. I don't believe it went down anything like Natalie Kawam was told by Army CID. I do not believe that Vanessa Guillen comes in, grabs the killer's phone, and goes, oh, here's a picture of Cicely Aguilera. You're seeing a married woman. I'm going to report you. I think that he told her she could not report him for sex harassment, and that nobody would believe her, and that she said, well, I bet they'll believe about your affair with Cicely Aguilera.
Exactly.
And then all hell broke loose. That's what happened.
Yes.
She didn't grab his phone and instigate this whole thing. She was trying to get away from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tim Miller, Texas EquiSearch, what do you make based on what you saw when Vanessa's body found in that shallow grave, they poured quick cement onto her skin to hide her. You stated that they were searching in other areas, and now we know why. Because they hacked her up with a machete and buried parts of her body in different places. What, if anything, did you see, Tim Miller, Texas EquiSearch, that would support that theory?
Well, again, what we've seen when we first found the burn pile and the partial lid off the Pelican case, we knew. And Nancy, I want to say this. These are uncivilized animals. Nancy, we don't even go to this extent when we are fighting our enemies in the war. It's just unthinkable. I don't have words. We knew. We knew immediately something terrible, terrible happened at that burn site. And again, for the investigator not to be interested in the beginning when we found it, we just all shook our head and said, what the hell's the matter with him?
You know, the fact that they would go to all this trouble, I could just see these two in the night. It's like double boil and trouble. Standing over a fire pit trying to burn Vanessa's body, dismembered, hacked up. The image of that Natalie Kawam is overwhelming. This girl did nothing wrong, Natalie.
You know, I got to say, one of the other things that really broke my heart when they were trying to figure out if it was her body or not, they couldn't. I asked them, mind you, use her dental records. Her mouth, and they said that he bludgeoned her head so badly they couldn't even get the face in one part. It was just all broken and shattered. I mean, I just think of what that girl suffered just because she was sexually harassed and was afraid. And this is another thing, Nancy, think of it. I said to them, how was her? I know you guys account for your hammers and everything. I've done my research. Who accounted for that hammer that was missing? And they said he admitted that he lost the hammer. He took the hammer out and lost it. And they let him go. I said, wait a second. When somebody loses something or if something's missing, they're accountable. Did they punish him? Did they reprimand him? Because that's protocol. And they said no. And I said, so a hammer's missing and a soldier's missing. And there's only one common denominator that had access to both, and that's at one person. And you guys still did not think, why is a hammer and a girl missing at the same time? And you... Then, ready for this? They did the checks. I said, how can you not have noticed that she was gone, that 3 p.m., 4 p.m. check? They said that the person who did the check cleared. I said, wait a second. I feel like there's a cover-up. There's a bunch of guys here. It's a boys network. A bunch of guys helping each other covering up because you don't go this long with all this obvious evidence. And they said that the guy who did the check said, I didn't check her. I said she was there, but I didn't. And I said, well, this obviously makes me suspect about him. And they said, oh, no. He admitted that he always is sloppy and he doesn't do checks right. He would be surprised if someone in Vegas and he wouldn't know that. And I said, and you accepted that as an answer? Do you know what? I got to say it was a complete disregard for the truth. This was mishandled.
Well, the other thing is this, Natalie Kawam, which might be a wonderful thing to add into, I hope, a lawsuit that you're going to file.
Yes.
But Natalie Kawam, attorney for Vanessa Guillen's family, she's missing. The hammer's missing. They know she was called in on her day off. They don't search the area in the armory for blood evidence or any other evidence? I mean, at 4:30, when they didn't cut muster, she wasn't there. They didn't look for her. I mean, this is contrary to everything we know to be true about the military or think we know. Let me understand something that you said, Natalie Kawam. Her head was bludgeoned so badly. I know her skull was shattered. What did you say about the dentist trying to identify her by teeth x-ray?
That's correct. They couldn't get her dental cavity. Everything was bludgeoned in her face and her skull, but they couldn't even use her face or her skull for any kind of bone or recognition. They said they found her hair, though, but her face was so bludgeoned that they could not get the dental records or do that kind of confirmation of autopsy of her face. It's just disgusting. It's heinous. It's a heinous crime.
Is her family ingesting all of this information?
Nancy, I hate to say this, but they haven't told the mother. They won't tell her mom. Our mom has been bedridden for the last couple of days. When I arrived, I didn't tell you guys this, but when I arrived to D.C., the family arrived to D.C. 2 days ago. That was when they found her body. They didn't tell the mother. But ironically, when they found her, I went to their hotel to talk to them and tell them. And the mother was outside with paramedics and an ambulance, and everything was out front of the JW Marriott. And I thought, oh, God, please don't let this be the family. And, of course, it was. The mother was showing signs of a heart attack and everything. She said, something's wrong. And they didn't tell her. They still won't tell her that they found her body. She knew. She said, something doesn't feel right. She has been in bed for the last couple of days while we have been going through this. I can't imagine what's going to happen when she finds out. They don't want to tell her.
You know, Dr. Bethany Marshall, to this day, I still have night terrors and nightmares about my fiance's murder. That was a long time ago. I can't even imagine what this family is going through, and to also know that the Army failed her in such a horrible way.
Nancy, and the fact that there's so many unknowns, as I've said so many times before, in the face of the unknown, we read into it our worst possible fears and anxieties and theories. But in this case, the facts are so much worse than any negative fantasy that a mother could have. I think that Erin Robinson and Cicely Aguilera, I think they had so much to hide. Erin, a sex predator, Cicely having an affair, and they vilified Vanessa because of their own bad acts. She became the scapegoat. She became the person who was blamed for everything, all their multiple lives. Can you imagine Erin and Cicely lying to spouses and partners and superiors and colleagues and vilifying Vanessa again and again until they built up this urban myth that Vanessa was a bad person, and then she got bludgeoned to death, and then the superiors saw the blood and they looked the other way. And who was Vanessa? She's a beautiful, beautiful 20-year-old with her whole life ahead of her. In family therapy, we have a term called the identified patient. It's when you have a really crazy family, but they bring one person to therapy and they say that that person's crazy, when in fact the entire family's crazy. On the Fort Hood compound, Vanessa became the identified patient, the one that everyone pointed the finger at, not just Erin and Cicely, but the entire group of men there. And she was an innocent young woman. It's so tragic.
I want to go back to our longtime friend and colleague, Tim Miller, crime victim who turned his suffering into action with Texas EquiSearch. Tim Miller, I look at the picture of Vanessa Guillen in life, and she's young, she's beautiful, she loves her country. All she wants to do is be in the Army. That's it. And go home on weekends to see her family and her boyfriend. That's all she wants. Tell me the scene that you discovered when you and others found Vanessa's body. What did you see?
Well, it was shocking, to say the least, and how close it was to the burn pile. And I just stood and I stared and just tried to digest the whole scene. And Nancy, it's not digested yet. I've seen a lot of things. And then what we do, just when you think you've seen everything, something new pops up. And this was something new. We've lost sleep. We've shed tears. We try to get some answers. There's no answer there's not an answer out there that's going to take any of the pain away from family, from us, what we've seen. And a lot of times I got a lot of things to talk about, and this time I don't. It's still trying to digest that scene and what happened and that fire. And that fire was so high, Nancy, it was burning tree limbs 15 feet above the damn fire. They made that fire hot. There was a tire at that fire, too. And we know when you put a tire in a fire, it burns even hotter. And you know what, Nancy? There is still plastic out there that they did not take in for evidence. And I'm not saying a little bit of plastic. And it was trying to figure out, why in the hell didn't they take everything that was here? All they took was that part of that lid. There was still stuff out there. This investigation was botched terribly, terribly.
You know what? I just did something I try not to ever do. And it's tough in this line of business. But for anyone that doesn't care about Vanessa, imagine that picture of her in her private first class uniform. So proud. And then put your daughter's face on top of that. That is what her family is going through. The thought that someone could do this to my girl, like they did to Vanessa. Is there no justice? Now the Army wants to have a meeting with the family lawyer, and they're still delivering a line of BS. I love the military, but there's one thing I love more than the military, and that is the truth. We wait as justice unfolds. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
During the interview with Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, Natalie Kowam said Cecily Aguilar was let out on bond today. Crime Online has reached out to the Bell County Jail and confirmed Aguilar is still in custody and being processed.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.